afternoon.
All right. Take your Bible message. Someone's going to be on the winning side. Amen. Take your Bible, Matthew chapter 8. I want you to take the volume right now or need to buckle down. Hang on. This is going to be a good one. Amen. The disciples, to be a disciple, it demands sacrifice. To be a disciple, it demands sacrifice. Disciple is one who's willing to be taught. That's all it is. I'm willing to be taught. The Lord Jesus Christ has a man come up to him and he tells him that, hey, Lord, verse 19, it says this, and a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest, or wherever place thou go. I'll follow you. But it's very interesting to me, if you take your Bible and look at verse 23, and it says, and when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. Well, that's talking about the apostles. It's not talking about this guy that came to him and said, hey, I'll follow you. I'll follow you. I want to talk to you about that today. There's one guy, he said, hey, Lord, suffer me first. Suffer me first to bury my father. I'll talk to you about that, too. I just want you to think of that. Suffer me first. Let me get this done first, and then I'll follow you. It's interesting to me that these men who were not asked by Jesus to follow him, they volunteered to Jesus. They came up to him and said, hey, Lord, hey, I'll go wherever thou goest, and offered their own service to him. Note they said that they would go anywhere with Jesus. And Christ explains to them that the ministry would involve sacrifice. Just plain old sacrifice. I'm amazed that as I read this account that as Christ moves to the next area of service, we do not hear these men anymore. They're gone. They're gone. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 8, verse 19, and a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, we'll follow whither thou goest. And Jesus saith unto him, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not place to lay his head. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go bury my father. And Jesus saith unto him, follow me. And let the dead bury their dead. And when he had entered into the ship, his disciples followed him. You know, I've been a pastor over 46 years. I've seen him. I've met him. I've watched many of a disciple who felt the call of God on their life. But when the rubber hit the road, I could never find him. How can you say that you are willing to serve God, and you disappear? Problem there. Here we find a man who promises Jesus he'll go anywhere that he anywhere, but he's not found. Why? Simple. He cries to the as the world cries. This is what the world says: "Hey, suffer me first. Me first. Me first always gets in our way. But for the dedicated, devoted, the loyal, the faithful, out and out, died in the wool Christian, he will claim, as the Apostle Paul claimed in Colossians 3, verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth, on the right hand of God. Verse 2, set your affections on things above, not on things of this earth. Me first. I have a life. I need to take care of my stuff first. Then, Lord, when I have it all taken care of, then I'll... You know what? There's so many people miss the bus. So many people miss the train. So many miss the airplane because they're doing their own stuff instead of doing what God wanted them to do. Yes. If you think I'm preaching to you, I am. What do you think I'm here for? And by the way, what do you think you're here for? It's not a time of entertainment. We're here to instruction in righteousness and exhortation and correction. You're wasting God's oxygen on yourself, amen? Our church houses are full of wannabes and gonna-bes, and I wish I had time, but it has to be on my terms, or I'm not in it. Listen to what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 8. Most men will proclaim every one his own goodness, but a faithful man, you know what the end of that is? Who can find? But a faithful man, who can find? Listen to the passion of Paul. He said, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affections, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Solomon wrote, Psalm 23:5, wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings, then fly away as eagle towards heaven. Solomon, the wisest man, said, let me tell you something. Don't you trust in riches. Because money make themselves wings, then fly away. How many times you thought you had that certain amount of money that you were going to spend on that certain thing, and all of a sudden, it's gone. I know some people really nervous today because of the stock market dropping and plummeting. And people are upset. There are people upset that the cost of the oil barrel, they're upset because it's down. And the people are not having to pay so much for gas. There's people out there very upset about that. The old president said he wants gas prices at $5 a gallon. Some of you guys' trucks, you don't want it $5 a gallon, amen. I couldn't believe it the other day. Diesel's $1.98. I remember the last time I went to pastor school, it was $4 and something a gallon for that diesel. And that diesel bus we got there, it carries 178 gallons. You can just figure that one out, amen. The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 John chapter 2, verse 17, and the world passes away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. That's some serious thought there. It abideth forever. Some of you people that think it's so important for certain things in your life, and you got to do this, and you got to do that, and if I can just get that big elk, or if I can just get that big deer, if I can just get that big fish, if I can just get that snowmobile, if I can just get that motorcycle, if I can just get that new truck, if I can just... It doesn't satisfy. I had a guy in church, Delvin Baptist Church. Anything new he bought. He bought a brand new Ski-Doo 440. Man, that baby was a screamer. He rode that thing for about, maybe four or five times and had it in the shop. Didn't have enough money to get it fixed. And there's people like that in this world, you know. David wrote, for when he dieth, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. I was reading the Bible the other day. I do that once in a while. And the Bible says that when a man dies, his thoughts are gone forever. All the things you're thinking of right now, when you die, it's gone. Nobody can collect it. Nobody can figure it out. The library is closed. Your library is done when you die. All the things that you thought would matter, all the things that are most important things in your life, it's over. Some kid's going to come in there and take your old truck and take this and go through your tools and throw a bunch of stuff away. And that FOJ drawer that you have in your house that has all the most important things like jackknives and watches, and somebody's going through it and say, well, what do you have this for? What do you have that for? Oh, that favorite gun or that favorite tool or that face. Gone. Life is really not that important, is it? But the things that we do for God will last, the Bible says. Matthew said, lay not up yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and thieves break through and steal. I was talking to one of my dear friends and the other day and having coffee with him, and we were talking about giving away our stuff while we're still living so the kids can enjoy and we know that they got it and somebody else didn't. That's what people start thinking about. My grandson said, "Hey, Papa, when you die, can I have this?" Don't do that to me. Don't do that to me. Luke chapter. Yeah, I heard a kid the other day say, "Grandpa, I want you. Would you sound make that sound like a frog?" What do you mean? Yeah. Well, my mom and dad said, "When you croak, we're going to Disney World." Oh, laugh! It's funny. Read it. Luke chapter 12, verse 15. "And he said unto them, Take heed, and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not," I've underlined that in my Bible, "consists not in the abundance of things which he possesseth." I got a garage full of junk. And so do you. Or some of you will have a garage full of junk. And it means a lot to you, but it doesn't mean a lot to other people. So what does life consist of if it doesn't consist in the abundance of things? I saw a bumper sticker a while back that says, "He who dies with the most toys wins." No, Ian. When you die, you can't play with your toys. It's all over, Jack. Philippians 3:19. "Whose end is destruction, who God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things." 1 John 2:15, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Remember now, the man says, "Suffer me first." That's a cry of natural man. First me. I want to waste my affections on the day. I want to waste my affections on the, what the world calls the clay, or what we're made out of. Then, if there's anything left over, I'll donate that to the Lord. Years ago, I used to preach a sermon on leftovers, and I had a picture of a fish, and all it was just bones. No meat, just bones. No scales, just bones. And I said, usually, this is exactly what a Christian does to God. He lives his life the way he wants to do. He does what he wants to do. And then when it's all over, he said, "Okay, God, here's, you can have me." Jesus said to this man, "Follow me." Jesus is saying, "I am the life. Don't linger. You follow me right now. You'll be seeking the living among the dead. Follow me." I want to remind you that a Christian here on earth, that nothing on earth, on this earth loves you. When you accept Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, that which loved you when you were without Christ, that love is gone. You are no longer of this world. That is why Jesus says to you, "Follow me, and I am the living. I am the only life. I am the only master of the kingdom of life. I am the way of life." Life is not a complaint, it's an action. Life is not to be spent in grieving, but doing. Life is action. Jesus said, "Follow me. Go. Do." I'm thrilled that the Ortezes are doing what God tells them to do. James is not a young man. They just sold their house. They're parting with all their possessions, and they're heading to Texas. There's got to be something wrong with that. They're just leaving. Go now, you got to go to school. Brother, school is not easy. Remember when you were in school?
Yes, sir.
You're just there for the girls, I know.
school is hard.
That's why very few who sit in this auditorium have that diploma that says we got a BS or a BA or a master's or a doctorate. Only a few people get that. Tanya, was school easy? Nancy, was school easy? How many college graduates would raise your hand? Was school easy? A lot of grind there, a lot of work. He just played football. He didn't have to study. But anyway, he's looking at me. He's talking to his girlfriend there. Amen. Let me tell you something. The music of a harp is beautiful, but it does not serve the world. The music of a hammer serves the world. The music of a hammer serves the world. The past should not be the tombstone. The past should be a garden. The scripture well illustrates the reflecting of the emotionless and the ambitious worldling. Hey! You boy, look at all the things he's doing, man. The people are the lame are being healed, and they're feeding the 5,000 and they're feeding the 4,000. Look at all the baskets, lever. Man, this is cool. I want to be a part of that. And Jesus said, "Hey, wait a minute. Foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not place to lay his head. This is not an easy. It's sacrifice. This world." It is not my home. I'm just passing through. Life is not easy. Life is difficult. It's a struggle. You don't believe that? Talk to some of these mothers that have little babies around the house. It's a lot of work. Man, it seems like you're always changing the oil on them. And always something going on. You know, there's some high-sounding words. Hey, Lord, I'll follow you. But that's not always deep proof of deeply rooted faith. Here we have the subject following Jesus Christ. Every man has a master. He's got a business. He's got a home. Every man is a master. Every man has a master passion. Every man has a power to will. Every man has a servant to consent. And here it is. Suffer me first to do the inferior. Suffer me first to take care of myself. Suffer me first to take care of my household. Suffer me first to take care of the business. Suffer me first to take care of my party. Suffer me first to take after my enterprise. I remind you that a Christian does not have to throw away his Bible to deny his God or sell his soul. He only needs to say, suffer me first to take care of my family. I can tell you hundreds of people who used to sit in the same seats, who used to say, hey, I'll do whatever God wants me to do. And all of a sudden, they don't even attend church anymore. Mr. Bickler, you're a pastor's daughter. You've seen them. You've seen them. Hey, Brother Rick, you remember those guys at Golden State? Well, they were going to do it, weren't they? What are they doing? Let me tell you something. Satan has a way of diverting our attention to do what he wants us to do instead of what God wants us to do. It doesn't mean, you don't have to deny the Bible. You don't have to deny, but I'll tell you what. If you don't deny yourself and serve God the way God wants you to do, you'll never make it. Suffer me first. And so we shall put the inferior duties in place of the higher duties and go through life and fail at last. Stick it out. Stick to it. Don't quit. That's some pretty big words, isn't it? I know people that can quote the Scriptures and know the Scripture better probably than I do. But they're not faithful to church. You won't even see them on Sunday night. They won't come tonight because, boy, they've got a big football game. Let me ask you this. Who won the Super Bowl last year? Who won the Super Bowl the last year before? You know, hey, who won the World Series? You know, we put so much emphasis on all that. And all of a sudden, we go the next day. And what have we done for God? There are some people, they wouldn't miss the first day of hunting. They wouldn't miss the first day. I told you last Sunday, a pastor from this city didn't show up on Sunday morning because it was the first day of bow season. And his wife got up in the middle of the service and apologized that her husband was there because you know him. He's his bow. Are you kidding me? By the way, a pastor is no different than you are. Why do you cuss him and expect not to be cussed? Shame on us. Oh, we put our... Oh, but... Well, that's his job. No, it's not his job. It's his life. Hope to God that I don't put myself in a position like that. Hope to God you don't put yourself in a position like that. Some of you know this Bible. Shame on us for not being faithful to God's Word. Faithful to God's church. What's wrong with us? Oh, Pastor, you just don't understand. I'm just so tired. I am too. I'm tired. I'm tired of people saying one thing and living another. I'm tired of people that are... Their complaint is more than blessing. Aren't you tired of people... Let me tell you about James Ortiz. I never have to inspect James Ortiz. I know he's going to do it. He tells me he's going to do it, he'll do it. I don't have to inspect Brother Rick. He tells me he's going to do it, he's going to do it. You ought to say amen. Hey, Brother Harold, you've owned a business. Do you like guys that always show up a little bit early and find out what's going on before work? You like that? Yeah, you bet. Because you know what? You never have to worry going to be there. Meanie comes to my house. She's always early. Come take care of Marcia. She's always early. I don't have to worry whether she's going to be there or not. Man, I like that. What do you think God thinks about us and our attitude towards His house and His work? All right, worry. They're going to be there. I get a little jumpy when some people don't. It's time. I'm wondering, boy, I hope they're going to be here. It's called sucking air. I used to scuba dive. I love scuba dive. And once in a while, you kind of... Hope that air is coming out of that thing, amen? Well, especially when you're down 75, 100 feet down the water. That's a long ways down. And it's a long way to come up. There's a man in a big city who dreamed. He was fascinated by raising fruit in southern Michigan. He moved to the country and set up an orchard with a great anticipation of the results. He had seen other guys do it. He could do it. But soon after he got his trees a good start, nature became his tormentor. The frost blasts his blossoms. If you've ever been in Michigan, you know sometimes it does frost in the spring. And it eats those blossoms away. And the worm gnawed at the roots, and the insects stung those blossoms and roots. And when he had toiled year after year for a couple of years, and he brought his trees into a state that he thinks that he is going to have a profusion of fruit, delicious fruit. The black wart seized the plum tree. The gum canker attacks his cherry trees. The winter blight killed the pear trees, and his apple trees will not bear anyhow. And alas, he's disgusted at raising fruit for a couple of years, and he comes back to the sea and says, I prefer, after all, that other people grow the fruit. I'm done with gardening. You know, if Adoniram Judson would have done that when he went to China, nobody got saved. Nobody got saved. He buried his first wife and buried his second wife. I think he buried his third wife and buried some children. But he just stayed. He just grabbed a hold of the rock and stayed. And because of that, years later, thousands upon thousands of people in China got saved. You know, sometimes life does not bear the fruits that you think it should bear. There's a little church during a terrible storm with just a few people. A deacon is up preaching. And a young boy was walking by and thought, I'm going to go in and get out of this cold. And he went in. And this very uneducated deacon was pouring through the scripture, reading the Bible. And he came across the scripture, to you, old man. And he pointed his finger at this young boy. And that young boy got saved that day. He just searched and seltzer. Hey, you know what? Church house was open. Preacher couldn't even make it. It was a terrible storm outside, but there's a faithful few at that church. And that day, Charles Haddon Spurgeon was saved, who changed really the world, and we're still reading his books. Because someone got up and nimbly read some scriptures. The church house was open. The true Christian slave. I'm a slave to Jesus Christ. Has one eye, one hand, one end, one heart, one prayer, one desire. For one God. Not a soul among us has come within a million miles of our attainment to be the right kind of slave for Jesus Christ. But if we desire it, and we hope for it, and we struggle for it, it'll be a sacrifice. When I think of the sacrifice, I think, what a puny thing to sacrifice for the Almighty God. Sacrifice? What is a sacrifice? Getting up a little early in the morning? What is a sacrifice? Read our Bible? Pray? See some widow that needs help? See some child that's fatherless? Living unspotted of the world? That sacrifice for all that the Lord God did for us? Pretty puny, isn't it? You say, I like your kind of preaching. Well, God don't like your kind of living. Why don't you put that on? God will take a broken person and make a worthwhile saint out of him if he's willing to go and do what God calls him to do. He was given Christ. In Christ, he's given everything. I have not. If I have, I guess it seems to be wasting a time trying to explain to some people what it is to be a servant. The disciples say, he said, I got to bury my father. Another says, I'm still completing this bargain of this real estate. Other claims that he has to study the things of this world.
Living the Christian life is a very serious thing. Very serious. I challenge you today that you realize how serious it is. There's neighbors and friends and relatives that are going to go to hell because of your unwillingness to be faithful to God. When's the last time you talked to somebody about Jesus Christ? Aren't you glad somebody talked to you about Christ? Aren't you glad that somebody showed you how you can know for sure if you die today you go to heaven? Boy, I am. I'm sure glad I went to that youth conference. I'm sure glad that preacher got up and just let her rip that Saturday morning. I'm sure glad that I had to sit next to my mother instead of the other guys messing around with them when he was preaching to me. I'm sure glad that I know Jesus, my Savior. Hey, let me ask you this. You 100% sure you're saved? Are you on your way to heaven? First of all, you can't be a servant of God unless you trusted Him as your Savior. There's no way. You're still your father, the devil. You're still part of that. The devil is your father. If you want Jesus Christ to be your Savior, He'll come in, He'll save you immediately, without question. He said, but I can't understand it. God never expected you to understand it all. He said, I can't understand God. God wouldn't be much of a God if you could understand Him. He says, call upon me and I'll save you. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell and destruction. God loves you and gave His own begotten Son for you. Won't you today? Forget about who's sitting next to you. Forget about the things that you say, well, I don't know if I can do that. Well, I don't know. Why don't you just come to Jesus and let God take care of the rest of that? Let God take care.